What's good? It's Chris from the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show, featuring Nashville singer-songwriter Amanda Cooksey, known for her breakup songs, crop tops, and TikTok covers, is a refreshing new voice in country music. Joins Off the Fret. More music talk. What's good, listeners? Joining us from Nashville, Tennessee, is my first female artist to join Off the Fret. More music talk, featuring country star Amanda Cooksey. How's it going, fam?
Hello, how are you?
Oh my gosh, I am fabulous. It is such an honor to get you finally on Off the Fret. I know this has been kind of like a year in the making,
but
to have you on is truly one of a kind. And let's get right on into it, because Amanda, I like to think that you're like a permanent resident of Nashville. And am I correct to say that you've lived in the city for almost a decade now?
Almost, yeah. I think we're coming on 9 years now, which is pretty wild. But I've really loved it so far. And of course, I make trips to Florida back home all the time. So it's like, still feels like my home in a way, but
yeah, absolutely. And like, what stands out the most in Music City, USA compared to your hometown of South Florida?
Oh gosh. Well, it just feels a lot different here vibe-wise, because this is a big music city, so it's just all music all the time. And so it's a lot different from like Orlando area, just because I'm not, you know, there wasn't a huge music scene down there. It's like kind of happening a little bit, but it was like a culture shock for me, like coming here, and like everybody that you talk to on the street is a songwriter. It's wild.
And so is that like a main reason why people should move to the music capital of the world? Would you embrace more young artists taking their endeavors to Nashville?
Oh yeah, definitely. If you're wanting to be a part of the music industry, I would say like Nashville, LA, or New York are like the places to be.
And like, as a shy kid, you know, growing up, you know, singing in church to taking vocal and piano lessons in middle school, you graduated from Belmont University with a double major in business administration and songwriting, including a master's degree in public relations. So why is it important to be educated as an artist?
Oh, gosh. Well, even when I first moved here, I had to learn so much about the industry, and there's just so much involved in it. And I think it's important just to have a background, especially in like a, you know, business or music business, just to know kind of like how it works, and so you don't fall into any like pitfalls like while you're here, because you just never know, people, you know, can take advantage of you. And it's not like everybody here's doing that or out to get you, but it's smart to like have a knowledge of it, so that when you come here you understand and you know, like how to speak all the terms, all the music terms.
but what would be that outlet of destination? Like, what's the first thing you should start thinking about when you arrive in the capital, you know, city of the world, the music world that we know as Nashville, Tennessee today?
Oh gosh. I mean, I feel like the first basic thing to do, it at least for me, was to just start networking with everybody and get to know who the big players are, who the key players are, and just get to know the class that you're going to come up with songwriter wise, just because those people are probably going to be, you know, huge writers one day as well. So just knowing everybody, I feel like, is like the most important thing, I think.
And where does that begin? Do you go to like coffee shops? Do you try to play as many pub gigs as much as possible? Because I mean, they're like also dubbing Nashville as like Nash Vegas, or is that just a West Coast thing that people say?
No, I've heard the term Nash Vegas. It's definitely because of all the bachelorette parties and everything.
Ah, I see. You know, the great music scene, beautiful women, great music. I gotcha. I see where you're going with this. But someone who is so open in the past about, you know, your insecurities on stage, like, where did the ambition and aspiration come from, you know, to move from South Florida to Nashville?
It's really funny because, you know, as a kid, like, I wouldn't even come out of my room to see family members when I was like 5. So it's crazy to me that I'm now, you know, performing on stages here in Nashville, because I never thought I would be at this point. But when I was in middle school, you know, I was playing piano. That was my first instrument. And I was getting lessons and I was doing classical music for the most part. And on the side, I was kind of writing songs in my bedroom for fun and was kind of starting to teach myself guitar chords and everything. My dad had a guitar growing up, and I just thought, you know, why not pick it up and try to play it? And started writing songs on the guitar. But
see, that's intriguing that you just referenced that, because I know on your mom's side, you know, your grandparents originally from Italy are like super loud and hilarious. Well, on your dad's side, from living in Jacksonville, Florida and Georgia, they're like super quiet. So do they hone their emotions through storytelling in music?
It's funny because I feel like my dad's the only musical one, I guess, on that side of the family. But my dad, I feel like guitar playing is definitely his outlet to just get his like emotions and feelings out. But other than that, like I feel like it's just me for the most. So I don't even know where it came from. But
hey, fair enough. Because, you know, I'm always curious where people pick up those talents, those, you know, musical aspirations. And, you know, is it true? Because, you know, it was my understanding that when you were a junior in high school, country music wasn't your first genre of choice. Is that correct?
Yeah. So in high school, I don't even know, like, kind of how it started. I just started listening to different styles of music. And I feel like it was probably because Spotify had become a thing and there were just more options and available. And it just really expanded my taste in music. And country was one of the genres I started listening to. I was listening to like Jay Gowen, Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, like all these different people, and just really became inspired by the storytelling lyrics. And it kind of just like led me into country.
Yeah, because that arouses curiosity in me, knowing that, you know, this genre that you found so much success in wasn't your first genre of choice. So if it wasn't for the honky-tonk music, what genre would it be if you weren't playing country music?
Oh gosh, well, definitely like pop music. I mean, I'm kind of like in this stage where I'm like a little bit transitioning over more to the pop side.
Oh, really? So what can we expect with future releases from Amanda Cooksey?
You know, it's definitely to be determined. I'm in the writing stages right now, but it's definitely got a country element to it still in a way, just because my lyrics have always been like more storytelling, emotional lyrics. And that's what I loved and still love so much about country is that element of it. And I try to bring that to a pop sound with pop melodies and everything. So
yeah, because Amanda, you've spoken about that in the past with the, you know, previous interviews and music publications about how you feel like the genre of country music is easier to actually tell a story compared to other genres of music. But it kind of sounds like you've sort of changed your mind over the recent years now that you're exploring the pop genre. So what do you say to that now? Do you feel like your storytelling and music has evolved over the years?
Yeah, I feel like over the years, it's definitely like changed. And my, you know, the people I'm like inspired by, like are always changing, or I'm finding new artists and everything. But I feel like in general, you know, pop's a lot more emotion based, but I still think that there's a lot of pop writers out there that have that like innate storytelling ability or just this like cleverness to the lyric like country music has. And that's like my favorite part about writing is like giving like a twist to like an idea.
Do you feel like there's anything missing? Like, I know we're just barely getting started in the year 2023, but do you feel like there's something that's missing in writing lyrics today from other artists that are making it into the scene today?
Gosh, that's such a hard... I mean, I feel like it just depends on like what you feel and what you want to write. You know, I don't know if there's necessarily like a right or a wrong or like something missing. Like everybody just kind of writes what they feel. And I think that's what's so cool about music is it's just about like you and your life, basically. It's just your diary.
Yeah, fair enough. You know, I'm totally with you on that. And I think you've really opened yourself up, especially with your latest LP, Him. And the first music video that we'll be playing on Off the Fret, More Music Talk, is your music video, Wish You Were Here, where the viewers experience a day in the life of someone just trying to make it through a breakup without leaving the home. So how do you get over your ex?
Oh gosh. Well,
the floor is yours.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, you cry about it a lot, maybe then you go out with your friends and have a great time. And then you cry some more. You maybe eat some ice cream, write a couple songs. Yeah, at least that's how I've done it in the past.
Is there a preferred choice of ice cream that someone should be eating when they go through what everybody will go through at one point, a breakup?
Definitely either the Tonight Dough, the Ben and Jerry's flavor, or it's called Fish Food. It sounds weird, but it is also Ben and Jerry's flavor. They're both amazing.
Fish Food.
I know, very weird sounding ice cream.
Yes, that's probably not was anything that I was thinking about. Maybe that's a woman's preference. I don't know if that's necessarily something that I would be finding myself.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, if you like chocolate ice cream with like marshmallow caramel and like little chocolate fish, it is the best.
Oh, okay. Now this is all making sense to me now. Because I was getting a little bit worried, Amanda. I'm like, what in the fish malarkey are they cooking up in Nashville?
Yeah, I promise there's no actual fish in the ice cream.
Okay, thank the Lord. But, you know, like getting swept up in a crush can, you know, make us all feel a bit out of control. And how do you stop obsessing over an ex-romantic partner?
Oh, my gosh. I think, you know, it's just reflecting on the relationship and realizing, you know, like, where did it kind of go wrong? And for me, like, that helped a lot. It was like, what, you know, what were the reasons this ended, and kind of come from it or from a different perspective, like, what was this person feeling? What was I actually feeling? And kind of realizing, like, was this right for me or not? And I feel like over time, like, I feel like in the end, things happen for a reason. I really believe that. And I think that if that was what was meant to happen, it was meant to happen. And my person is not that person.
And I guess as you're saying this, my first reaction is, when do you start dating after a breakup?
Oh, gosh. I feel like that is a personal preference. But for me, like, I say, until you can, like, legitimately say I'm over this person, like, I am ready to date again.
Okay, fair enough. Because, you know, my mom knows me all too well, obviously, because I came straight out of the wound from my mumsy. But I'm always joking with her 24/7. If Bill Maher can be a bachelor until he's 60, so can I. So maybe I won't have to go through any of these kind of tactics anytime soon. But I'm telling you, you gotta listen to this full-length LP from Amanda Cooksey, Him, because it will help you through those hardships. And I say, why don't we go ahead and play our first music video on Off the Fret, More Music Talk. And this is Amanda Cooksey's music video, Wish You Were Here.
Check, check, one, two. Is this thing on? Been stuck on my own little island, where you left me in radio silence. No palm trees, just memories, and that sun sure ain't shining. It's blackout shades here in my bedroom. Ice cream pants still full of tissues. Heard you're happy wherever you are, but if I could send you a postcard, it'd say, I wish you were here, spending all of your time just swimming in tears, heartbroken like mine. I wish you were, wish you were, wish you were here. Wish you were, wish you were. Feeling all of my pain, feeling like it's a fall. I wish like hell you built something at all. I wish you were, wish you were, wish you were here. Wish you were, wish you were here. Hurt and fall too. They say misery loves company, but it's just me. Damn. I wish you were here, spending all of your time just swimming in tears, heartbroken like mine. I wish you were, wish you were, wish you wish ya. I wish you were here, spending all of your time just swimming in tears, heartbroken like mine. I wish you were, wish you were, wish you were.
Hey, what's good? That is Amanda Cooksey's music video, Wish You Were Here. You can find it on her full-length LP, Him. And Amanda, how did you get into making music?
Gosh, well, I was kind of, I guess, as I was saying earlier, I started out on piano and was classically trained since I was like 6 years old and started writing some songs in my bedroom. And I had a piano teacher at the time named Ron Feldman, who was like an awesome classical piano teacher, but he also was a vocal teacher. And I started talking to him about how I was writing songs and he wanted to hear them. And I would play them for him every time I went to lessons. And he was like, you should really like consider like actually going out and playing these like live for people. And as we kind of talked about, I was a super shy kid. So it was really hard for me to perform in front of anyone, but I ended up performing in my eighth grade talent show in front of like 500 people. I think that was like my first like performance.
But I mean, but as you're saying this though, Amanda, I mean, that's pretty remarkable, but considering the fact that, you know, most music teachers don't necessarily, you know, as they're trying to teach you how to play music, go, hey, I see something special in you. You should actually bring this talent to the stage. And you're like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm just trying to learn a four chord progression. Could you just, can we just take it a little bit slow? I'm only in eighth grade. So what were some of those conversations, you know, that you had with Ron that really kind of made you feel like, you know what? You're right. This is something that I want to do.
I mean, he always just saw something in my music and in my songwriting. And was always just very supportive and had such a kind heart. And even though he was also one of the most brutal piano teachers, but that's another story. But he always saw something in me and believed in me. And I think that just like that little belief was like what I needed to believe in myself more, which is something I've always like struggled with. And yeah. I don't know.
But I can't let you just kind of skip that to the side. I mean, you had a music teacher that was very aggressive, obviously very passionate in what he does. Yes. talk to me, like, what were some of those conversations like that kind of really kind of kicked your ass on a level to be like, you know, if you really want to do this, as I see potential in you, you need to meet X, Y, and Z so then you can become this potential country star that you are today.
Right. Oh, gosh. Well, he was always like, every time I would mess up a classical piece just once, he'd be like, that's wrong. You're doing it again next week. So I was always like having to like, you know, perfect my craft. And he was really always on me. But at the same time, like he was the one that, you know, when I did start playing more shows around Florida, he was the one that was always there, like cheering me on and
I would say though, Amanda, do you appreciate those moments of, you know, him being so stubborn about, you know, even just missing one note? Do you feel like that has helped you over the years, especially now that you're on your own living in the, you know, the music capital of the world?
It definitely did. And I don't know, it just taught me to like not just settle, you know, and to really make sure that I'm presenting myself the way I want to present myself, which is like to get the piece right, or, you know, to play the song right. And I just think it made me overall like a better performer. So I definitely, definitely value it.
Absolutely. And, you know, do you still view yourself as like a mix of Walker Hayes and Ariana Grande? Or do you feel like I am Amanda Cooksey? There is no one else to compare myself to.
You know, there's always people that inspire my music. And I feel like I'm always going to be inspired, and most, I think, musicians are inspired by someone, and that definitely will always influence their sound. But I'd like to think like I have bring my own take to my songs and to my style. So they might be like hidden in there somewhere, but definitely trying to bring my own sound to the game.
No, I definitely feel like you do. And, you know, what are the strengths that you have to have to become a country star? Is it, you know, consistent with creating music, or is it the love of the music?
Man, I think for me, it was just like, one, loving it and just enjoying like creating. And I think that's something that it's easy to forget when you live in a town like Nashville for so long, because you start like thinking of all the things you want to achieve, and then you forget like why you're actually here, which is for the music part and like the part that you love, which is just writing songs. And I think like for me, finding my sound was really through just like enjoying it and like writing on my own for a little bit and finding myself and what I wanted to say. Because when I moved here, it was like, oh, I want to be like Miranda Lambert, but that wasn't me. I wasn't anything like Miranda Lambert. I'm not this like, right, you know, I'm gonna go, you know, key your car or like burn your house down. that
was never me. You know, like I don't got that kind of like love rage, but I do definitely want to tell the story that all of us millennials, even zillennials, can relate to. And when did you know that you could sing? Was it by like nature or by accident?
You know, that's a good question. I feel like I when I was younger, my mom put me in like vocal lessons. She was always putting my brother and I in like lessons for music or sports so that we could try things and just find what we love. And I think singing was just something that kind of stuck with me when I started taking lessons. And then I was singing in church a little bit because I grew up and went to Catholic school. And so I was singing in like the choir at church, or you know, with another person.
It was like you weren't afraid to belt it out.
You know, I guess not. No, it was always like very like simple, like church songs, but I was always up there with someone else, which made me feel like more comfortable. But, you know, as soon as it was just me on the stage, that's when it became more real.
Yeah, absolutely. And isn't it important for, you know, vocalists to listen to different types of music so they can find their voice? Or were you vocally trained to get there?
I would say it's like a mix of both. I feel like, you know, obviously whatever voice you're born with, you kind of learn to perfect that and make it your own. And learn, obviously there's some technique involved in singing that you know, learn from a vocal coach, and they train you to not like damage your vocal cords or anything. But
yeah, because I usually tend to hear that more often when it comes to hard rock and heavy metal vocalists. But how is someone that sings country could potentially ruin the long haul of their musical career, which is your voice, your singing skills?
Right. Well, I know that you can overuse your voice, you know, if you're straining and, you know, if you're tightening up your vocal cords, like it just puts a lot of pressure on them. So it's like any kind of instrument, you have to like basically go in and like fine tune everything and, you know, warm up and cool down, make sure it's like almost like running.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like, is there like any kind of like secret sauce, any kind of ingredient that you use before you jump up on stage? You know, are you drinking like warm water? And like, I used to laugh at stories with like Craig Mabbitt from Escape the Fate, because he does screaming vocals, and he would say, yeah, I like to eat a bag of Skittles because it gets the saliva kind of thick, and that's how it kind of helps me do the growls. So is there any kind of method that you do, like a hot tea or anything like that?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I'm kind of boring. I just drink some water. I do like my little warm-ups that my coach gives me, and then I'm good to go. I'm off to the races.
Well, I wouldn't say it's boring. It just seems like you're a natural star. Yeah. You don't need all that secret antidote to make things happen. I think that's really, really groovy. And I know that I was reading online that when you're in the songwriting process, it helps you to come up with lines and titles first. And since you did get a college degree in songwriting at Belmont University, was this something that you learned in school, or is this just something that works for you?
It's funny because like I feel like when I went to college and got a degree in songwriting, it was more about like the connections I made, and you know, they would give us topics to write about sometimes, which would strengthen, you know, our writing that way. But I always feel like it was just a me thing to like, you know, when I moved to Nashville, I kind of learned how other songwriters were writing songs with other people, but it was just kind of a me thing to feel more comfortable, like bringing in a line or bringing in an idea that we could write to, and like having my perspective on like how I think we should write it, or if there's like a cool twist to it, you know. I think it's just more of a preference thing of, do you prefer like bringing in a melody, or do you prefer bringing in the idea, or like a line?
Right. And do you use like the iCloud notes, or do you have like a journal full of like keywords, and then you sort of like circle it like, that's the one we're tackling today. We're going to be talking about, I don't know, the social issues of tomorrow. Or is it, you know, we're doing a breakup, or this is a cooking song. I don't even freaking know. I mean, is that something that you draw upon, or is it just like something that kind of sparks in your head and you're like, you know what? That's it. That is the chapter one, the track one to my future LP record.
It's funny because I'd love to say that I have this journal with all my ideas organized, or like a nice, like, you know, iCloud note. And I do have notes. That's what I do. But they are definitely not organized. They are all over the place. I'll find ideas everywhere. They're in my voice notes. They're in my actual notes. They're, you know, on, like, I wrote it down somewhere on like my planner. It's just, you never know.
Well, it seems like you're kind of just like vomit writing. That's probably not the most appropriate terminology to use, but it seems like you like to scatter your thoughts all over the place, and then eventually it will all come together as one. Is that kind of what I'm getting at from you?
Yeah, I guess so. And then I also, it's funny, I actually find a lot of my ideas on Pinterest. And I have a folder that just literally says song ideas. And it's, if there's like a cool like quote or something on Pinterest, I literally save the idea and then I write it.
Okay, I love that. So to me, it sounds like you're very much like a visual person when it comes to songwriting. So obviously you use keywords, but so then you like to parlay your keywords with an imagery?
Yeah, I guess in a way, or it's just like, you know, a quote that I just feel like connected to that I think is quirky and cool and different. And I'm like, that's what I want
to
write.
Do you use Pinterest to kind of like figure out where our generation is in the now?
It definitely helps. I actually have gotten ideas from TikTok as well, which I feel like is the big social media platform.
Incredible. I love that. I think that is so cool. And I know during the making of your country album, Him, you collaborated with six different songwriters to tell a story of a relationship ending and the aftermath that everyone can relate to. And what are the benefits of writing music with co-songwriters? And are there any downsides to collaborating with co-songwriters? Because when I heard like six different songwriters, I know sometimes when I'm producing Off the Fret or the Chris Collins Show, it's like, guys, too many ears in my head. I think I got the point. We're good. So how do you view it? I want to know.
Oh, gosh. Well, I love having co-writers. I mean, there's definitely, you know, times where I prefer to just write solo, but I feel like having people in the room with you that, you know, understand what you want to say, and that know, like, you know, I guess the concept for the song, it just helps get the idea across, and people are going to bring ideas to the table you didn't think of, or maybe you'll have a different way to say it. So I feel like I love having co-writers, especially if they're people that I've worked with a ton and, you know are gonna understand like my voice and my artistry.
With the new music in the works, will you continue to work with songwriters?
Oh, for sure. I'm always working with different people, and the people that I love working with that I've worked with in the past. So definitely going to be working with other songwriters.
I think that's so cool. And from like a musical perspective, what are the most important qualities for a successful songwriter?
Oh gosh. I would say just coming in with strong ideas and giving your own, you know, unique twist to the lyrics. I feel like that is the most important thing. And then always having like cool different melodies, you know, you can pull from.
And so when you say unique twist to your songwriting, is it like a certain part in a song that you need to focus on, like the hook? Or are you trying to do something kind of different where you don't want the verse to kind of correlate or sound the same as verse two? Or is it just kind of having fun with it? I mean, or is there no formula to the madness?
Yeah, I mean, realistically, I feel like there's really no formula. Obviously, there's like the standard verse, chorus, bridge, chorus. But, you know, other than that, it's just like what you want it to be. But I always think, you know, having a cool, unique idea or something that people haven't heard before always stands out, you know.
Oh, I think that is so, so groovy. And I know the next music video that will be playing on Off the Fret, More Music Talk, is Chicago. And during your first appearance on the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show, I asked you about how I can get a song written about me because I promised you I would never break your heart. And whether you regret writing songs about your exes. And why are you not shy about talking about your relationships publicly?
I think it's just because it's my way of expressing myself and my way of like getting my feelings out onto like a page. So it just doesn't really bother me. And I think that that's what, you know, people want to hear is like about like your feelings and like what you've gone through, because they can they can relate to it and like put themselves in that situation and be like, oh my gosh, I went through that and like I feel this way. So I could listen to this song over and over again, you know.
I definitely do feel like that's sort of the formula, because you know, there's performers like Selena Gomez, Justin Bieber, and even right. Adele who have written songs that are obviously directed towards their exes. And do writing sad songs help you with heartbreak?
I think so. I mean, it definitely got me through the breakup, which was a hard time for me, but it definitely helped with all the emotions I was feeling. And I don't know, it was almost like the breakup just like led me down this hole of like, oh, I have this really like cool idea to write this entire album called Him. And it's literally just the breakup story. I don't know. It just like, it was a good focus for me.
But I guess my question to you, Amanda, is why is it that artists feel like it's necessary to write music about their exes? Does like the industry demand it, or is there like a formula behind it?
I think that's just like what people like to write about. Like people love and they love writing about their breakups and the heartache of it. It just like, it makes them feel like they can have an outlet for everything they're feeling and all those emotions. You know, I don't think it's really like a formula. It's just people's lives. Like people just like to write about what they're going through and hope that other people can connect to it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, Amanda. I mean, when I listen to your full-length LP, Him, I just keep telling myself, it's like, true love will come. Do I really want to be in this position to feel heartbreak? I don't think so. I think the tides will come, and I don't want to be caught in the undertow, if you know what I'm saying. And I know the music video that we're about to be playing right now is Amanda Cooksey's music video, Chicago, live on Off the Fret.
You were there, I prayed. Kept me on my fate. Like a teenage dream, forever feeling 17. But guess you never saw us growing old. Maybe you left me a long time ago. Am I thinking too much? 'Cause you were all about us. Or did you leave me in Chicago? Did you stay in a high rise there? Does she know you like I know you? Were your fingers running through her hair? Did you give her your jacket? And did she whisper to you, I love you? Do I wanna know what happened? Did you leave me in June? Or did you leave me in Chicago? Change a thing, won't even help me sleep. But honestly, anything would fill the spaces in between. Wish you'd tell me what to think. Did you leave me in Chicago? To you. Or did you leave me in Chicago? Didn't you stay in a high-rise? Did she know you like a gone? Were your fingers running through her hair? Did you give her your jacket? And did she whisper to you, I love you? Do I wanna know what happened? Did you leave me in Chicago? Or did you leave me in Chicago? Did you leave me in Chicago? Did you leave me in Chicago? I gotta know, I gotta know.
That is Amanda Cooksey's music video, Chicago, and you can find that on her full-length LP, Him. And we got the one and only country star, Amanda Cooksey, with us right now. And Amanda, how well do you know the music industry and its current trends?
I'd like to think I know them, but we'll see. I don't know.
So do you feel like it's something that's always constantly on your mindset, or are you kind of just like, you know, I just kind of let the music industry do its thing and I'll follow the trends when it feel like it's appropriate?
I feel like I'm always having to think about it, just because as an artist, I feel like it's important to know what's going on and to stay updated, because you never know what new app's going to come out. But I feel like I try to stay updated, but also do my thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking earlier about your songwriting process, and a new trend happening in 2023 is record label executives encouraging more young artists to pursue AI songwriting. So have you considered using AI to write lyrics for a future single or album?
Definitely not at this point.
Why not embrace the tools that are in front of you?
I just feel like that takes the emotion out of the songwriting process. And I feel like that's why people love music and connect to music so much, is because they find themselves in it. So I feel like letting a robot kind of decide what's going to be in a song is just, it's just not going to get the same, you know, feeling and emotion.
Yeah, I think you're on to something, Amanda, because, you know, there's no doubt that AI is transforming art, but do you see it doing the same for music, even if it's just, let's say, musical arrangements and, you know, separate from writing lyrics?
I guess if, you know, there's no lyrics involved, I guess maybe it's possible. I don't know how it works and, you know, how they generate, like, all the composition behind it, but I think at the end of the day, you know, there's something, you know, special about like a person performing a song or writing lyrics to a song, because it's real. It's, you know, it's natural.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, I know as someone like yourself, who also, do you still work at a place called Demolition Music?
I do.
And as someone as yourself, you're the head of PR, right?
Yes.
And with that in mind, you collaborate with other artists and other songwriters. So if someone else, like a computer generated software, is trying to get into the field that you're doing, what happens to songwriters when AI can generate music? Are you worried, or are you just, you're like, nah, this is just a facade and it's going to go away?
I do think that, you know, it's going to, I feel like people might try it out and see how it works. I don't think it's going to replace songwriters, just because, again, I think that, you know, it's just, it's technology. And we all see those movies about, like, you know, some kind of robot taking over and then it just goes completely south and then they have to destroy the robot. So
it feels like the Wakanda Forever. I just watched that, you know, they introduced the new superhero and you know, they were kind of talking about how, like, hey, you need to embrace AI, and the older, you know, Yankee Doodles in the film are like, no, we should not be embracing this. And the reason I kind of bring that up is, you know, some critics are claiming, you know, Google's new creation, they have a brand new AI system called Music LM, you know, capable of generating any type of genre with just a mere text description. So I can literally say, hey, I'm in the ocean, feet are deep in the sand, and it's a nice sunny day. And it will literally generate lyrics for me. But some people feel like this is a violation of copyright infringement, as AI can't make art or music purely from scratch.
Right.
Do you share the same sentiment?
I mean, if it's taking from, you know, samples and things that are already, or pieces of work that are already out there, then it seems like it would be. I don't, you know, obviously I don't know completely how it's going to work, but it seems like that would be.
Seems like it's got to take from something, yeah, right?
I mean, exactly. You would think so. And, you know, how is that going to work if it does like steal from somebody's song that's already out there? Like, do they get credit for it? Do they not?
Yeah. Do they purposely just go after like a certain record label and just mock like the same, you know, top 100 Billboard artists? I have no idea how that's all going to be. Yeah, I feel like
legally that's going to be an interesting battle for some people.
Because I mean, I think everybody understands that, you know, we all have the ability, you know, to create songs with AI. Obviously, Google's doing it with the Music LM, just like, you know, the average iPhone user. Yes. Can, you know, take high quality photos and videos with their iPhone on the fly. But my thing is, though, Amanda, that doesn't mean that you're a professional. And how do you manage to maintain musical integrity while being commercially successful?
Oh, gosh. I feel like that's such a tough question. I mean, I feel like it's just being honest and real and like putting yourself into the songs, you know, and just writing, you know, what you know and what you believe in. And then that's what's going to translate to people, you know?
Yeah. It says to sound like you're taking the easy road. I feel like if you're in a fork in the road, Amanda Cooksey knows exactly which directions she's going to choose. But yeah, I think this is something that we're all clearly learning in the year 2023. So we'll see how that goes. But I know the next song that we're about to be playing on Off the Fret, More Music Talk, is your music video In Denial, which I love the musical arrangements. I mean, I feel like it's got that very poppy, you know, reimagined, stripped down instrumentation, you know, along with you're doing like this 6/8 meter with the slow tempo throughout it, kind of, you know, yes, leaving room for us listeners to kind of have a positive reflection while some of your other songs are a bit reflecting on else matters, I would say. So is that the idea of In Denial?
Well, I guess it's, you know, it feels like a happy song, but it's, you know, still about being in denial that a relationship's over. So in a way it's like kind of a sad song, but it's like, I'm just going to live in this like denial for a little bit just because it'll make me feel happier and more content. And then I'll come back to like the sadness in a little while when I feel like it, you know.
Okay, that's interesting that you say it's still a sad song, because, you know, I read, you know, lyrics, you know, there's no cloud or rain, just sunny days. And so when I see that, it's like, oh, Amanda's looking finally on the bright side. But why is it good metamorphically to throw your baggage in the ocean like you're doing in the music video and forget that your heart was ever broken in the past?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It's just, you know, letting yourself forget all the bad things for a second and just live in that denial. I don't know if it's like the healthiest thing to do. Probably you should probably, you know, cope with it and take the steps to like figure out how to get over the whole thing. But I don't know. I think it is like a good, you know, kind of in between song where it's like, I want to feel, you know, a little bit of peace with the situation for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you're in a new relationship now, and I'm sure, I would assume, I think I've seen a TikTok video from both of you guys where, you know, he's kind of going, is that song written about me? And you're like, yes, maybe, maybe not. And I think, is that something that, you know, are you finding out quickly as a country star who likes to write about your love life that, you know, your future lovers, or maybe this is the one, you know, is going to expect a song about them in the future?
You know, it's easy to write about what you know and what you're going through. So I feel like, you know, and that's kind of landing on him at the moment, which, you know, luckily he hasn't done anything wrong. So,
well, you know, keep up to it. We don't, you know, maybe we might get an update in a year or two. Maybe we might see the happy side of everything. Very, very cool, Amanda. And let's go ahead and play Amanda Cooksey's music video, In Denial, live on Off the Fret.
months ago, the second he said it was over. Kicked on my feet, made myself at home, valeted my car and my closure. Laid back on a beach chair right next to the ocean, watching the waves and all my baggage floating away. Hey, I could get used to this place. Can't hear them over birds singing, and hearts they don't break, don't go separate ways. That's just the Kool-Aid I'm drinking. I love it here in denial. Think I might stay for a while. There's no clouds or rain, just sunny days. I'll wear my shades in a smile on my face. Ain't no sad songs on the
Amanda Cooksey's music video In Denial, and you can find that on her full-length album, Him. And Amanda, let's switch gears on right now, I would say, because I want to get to know you on a personal level. And you are an absolute nerd when it comes to comic books. And I'm sure that you've seen the news at the top of February, where DC studio bosses have announced its first 10 projects titled Gods and Monsters. And what are you looking forward to the most under the new leadership under James Gunn and Peter Safran?
Oh gosh. I mean, I'm definitely more on the Marvel side of things, but
Do you feel like they're going to be able to hold to that standard, or would you like to see DC go a completely different direction?
Man, I think that DC is definitely stepping up their game for sure, because the first Wonder Woman I thought was fantastic, and I really actually enjoyed this new Batman film. I thought Robert Pattinson was incredible in the movie. So I'm actually really excited to get another Batman, and I'm hoping it's just as good as the first one, because I really enjoyed it.
They also do have another Batman beyond Robert Pattinson that's going to be called The Brave and the Bold, featuring Damian Wayne as his murderous son, who's kind of an assassin, supposed to be a younger age. Are you cool with that? Because I know they're kind of like separating the worlds. Like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker will have nothing to do with these 10 projects in Gods of Monsters. That will be like its own thing, just like how they're going to be making a black Superman, which I think is kind of a really cool adaption, something different. So we'll see whether that works or not. But I guess, are you upset with how Warner Brothers Studios handled the Snyderverse and kind of, you know, kicking Henry Cavill to the curb when it comes to Superman? Did you feel like he needed a proper exit, or were you just done with it?
I mean, I loved Henry Cavill as Superman. I thought he was great, and he was a great actor. But it, I mean, that is an interesting like idea, like a new Superman. I mean, I'm curious to see what they do with it. But yeah, I don't know. I feel like DC's always kind of changing it up a little bit, and I was nervous about them bringing back Batman in the first place when they brought Robert Pattinson into everything. But I mean, they did a fantastic job, so I'm kind of open to whatever.
Do you have any, you know, plans coming up in these recent months, or are you still kind of, you know, figuring out your thing? Because I know you said at the top of the show, you know, you're kind of in the early stage of the songwriting process, but is there any like secret releases or collabs you can let us in on?
Well, I've definitely been working on a ton of songs, and I have a lot of material that, you know, I'm interested in releasing it. You know, right now I'm kind of in the phase of like just trying to promote everything on social media and, you know, see if something is really resonating with, you know, my audience. So that's kind of where I'm at the moment. But hopefully I hope I can release something, you know, in summertime, but we'll see.
Hey, rock and roll. So I find that intriguing. You know, you're using the social media outlets to be able to kind of let your own fans be able to spell the story out for the next future LP. That's a trip. I haven't heard of that one before. I think that's really, really cool. And let's get on into the last song that we'll be playing on Off the Fret, More Music Talk, which is your music video, What's His Name, which is a track, you know, poking fun at forgetting your ex-boyfriend who you considered to be your best friend at one point, which leads me to my question that needs to be asked. Is it okay to talk with your ex-lover, even if he was once your best friend?
I feel like, again, it is a preference thing, but I've always been one to just kind of like cut the cord, like, you know, probably for the best to not see each other, just because I feel like it brings up old memories and, you know, can lead to maybe redating this person, which could also be like sometimes not the best idea. But I think, you know, it depends on the people and like how long they've dated, the situation. But for me, I've always been like,
yeah, because Amanda, I was going to say, you know, I've only really had like one lover and we're obviously an ex now. We didn't date as long. It was only 6 months. And, you know, once we did the split, it was like, okay, we're like probably never going to communicate again. But my thing is, even with the like 6 months, I kind of felt like, you know, yeah, maybe we could be friends on social media. But then after a while, once you kind of like see all the photos and she's moved on faster than I did, it kind of made me crazy on a level. And is it healthy to still follow your ex-lover on social media?
Oh, gosh. You know, I never do, just because I personally don't think I could, you know, it just wouldn't be good for me to like keep up with it, you know. But again, it's some people have an easier time moving on than others and, you know, want to keep their, you know, significant others like that have once been in their life, still in their lives. But for me, it's just clean cut. Like,
but I'm sure you have your friends and, you know, do they deal with, you know, ex-lovers still being their best friends? And from an outside perspective, you know, kind of looking into a snow globe, do you feel like that's kind of weird? It's like, girl. Or even my guy friends, like, what are you doing? Like, there's so many fish in the sea. I find that weird. Or you just feel like they're just kind of, I don't know. I don't want to put words in their mouth. Are they trying to, like, rekindle happiness? What's going on?
It is interesting. You know, I've had friends who have, you know, kept those people in their lives. And it ends up ultimately not working out, which is, like, sad. But I feel like it's just, you know, almost like another lesson of, like, I had to kind of go through this to like understand that maybe it wasn't the best for me and the best situation. And then they've been able to move on from it. So I don't know, maybe there's a lesson in it.
And I mean, obviously, Amanda, you came up with a full length album, Him, that's basically about your ex-lover. And when you write a record about this ex-partner, is it like, okay, now that the album's out, you're definitely gone for good? Is that how you view things?
Yeah, I mean,
it took me a while to get over him because, you know, obviously we were friends first, and then it, you know, started.
Did some of the factor come into play about being hard to get over him now that you were like, okay, it felt good to write music about you, and now that I finally have left it all on the paper, and now we've come up with the musical arrangement, but singing those songs often and your fans love the music and you're always going to have to be thinking about that in the back of your skull when you sing these lyrics. Does that help, or are you kind of like regretting some of the, you know, the past records where you're going, maybe, you know, with this new release, I might have to stay away. Fans online, please give me ideas on social media.
I don't know. I think, you know, I feel like I'm always going to draw inspiration from just things that have happened in my life. And, you know, sometimes, you know, you reflect on past experiences and find a new way to kind of talk about them. But I've definitely closed that chapter in my life. You know, it's been a couple of years and I've been able to kind of cope and deal with it and move on. And it's just, I feel like it just doesn't really bother me anymore. The emotions, you know, are not as, you know, close to me. So it's definitely easier to sing the songs than it once was.
Okay, that's good. You know, I'm always curious about that. Cause like we said, you know, people always love to, you know, bring up their exes and songs and they don't hide it from nobody. And clearly, as we can see right now, speaking with you, Amanda Cooksey, you're like, man, you're such a thing of the past. You're going to regret this. You're going to regret this. I see you, Pikachu. I see what's going on. I love it, fam. But rock and roll. Let's go ahead and show the listening audience what's good by playing Amanda Cooksey's music video, What's His Name, live on Off the Breath.
Say that word around here no more. Jet black, deep hair, white Adidas. Walked in and he's spinning like tequila. Damn, who's that? I had to ask. Cause I'm too curious for my own good. Everything about him told me that I should turn and me not fall in love. But I jumped in head first. Should've used my head first. Should've never wondered. What's his name? I had to know it. What a shame. He had a blow. Now we don't say that word around here no more. We don't say that word around here no more. Cause what's his name? He put me through it. And now I wish I never even knew. No, we don't say that word around here no more. I was so much better before. What's his name? Laundry list of shit we call him. Saved in my phone as don't you dare call him. When you're drunk, he's still not the one. It don't roll off my lips like the way you once did. I swear I don't miss. What's his name? I had to know it. What a shame. He had a blow. Now we don't say that word around here. I blocked it out of my memory. I could try spelling it out. I think it went something like D-I-C.
Okay, I guess I did forget about
What's his name? I had to know it. What a shame. He had a blow. Now we don't say that word around here no more. We don't say that word around here no more. Cause what's his name? He put me through it. And now I wish I never even knew it. No, we don't say that word around here no more. I was so much better before. What's his name?
That is Amanda Cooksey's music video, What's His Name? And you can find that on her full-length LP, Him. And there's no secret that the music industry, Amanda, is a very tough business to get into. Yeah. So do you have a roadmap for the next 5 years, or are you kind of going with the flow like Elvis Presley did?
kind of going with the flow a little bit, but you know, I've been writing a ton of music and, you know, just figuring out what I want to release next. But I'm also not, you know, I'm trying not to put too much pressure on it, because when you put pressure on it, then it becomes like very stressful and you don't say like the things you want to say in your songs. So try not to put too much pressure. Do I have like kind of an idea of where I'm going and what I'm doing every day? Yes. Because
so no like strict schedule or anything. You're just gonna kind of let things kind of play out, or are you kind of like aiming for summertime to be like, okay, we need to kind of solidify the theme and the direction that we're gonna go with this new future LP or potential couple singles? I don't know. I mean, but is that something that you're thinking about? Are we gonna hear new music in the year 2023?
That I definitely want to happen no matter what. So at some point it definitely will. I'm kind of just trying to navigate the landscape, since things have definitely changed a lot in the music industry since COVID, basically, with like TikTok being such a huge part of music now, and like the way people are releasing music and have like really having a social media fan base. It's really changed things. And so I don't know. I think I'm putting a lot of my focus on that and building my fans that way, and just figuring out what I want to release this year. But
see, that sounds like the business administration and your master's degree in public relations going to work. I see where this is all going. I think that's really cool. It definitely does sound like you have a legit roadmap, and we're excited for you, fam. And before we wrap things up, is there anything that you would like to say to your fans and new ones now introduced to Amanda Cooksey?
Well, I definitely want to say thank you to everybody who's been supporting me thus far on my journey. It's been like a crazy one since I've moved to Nashville. I've learned so much, and just thank you for being patient as I've tried to figure out, you know, what new music I want to release. And for now, you can check out the single that I dropped with my friend Lucas Scott called My Phone, which is out now, so you can check that out. But otherwise, follow me on socials to keep up with everything.
Rock and roll. I love hearing that. And thank you again, Amanda, for joining Off the Fret. More music talk. And make sure to check out Amanda Cooksey's LP, Him, wherever you listen to music. And where can the listeners follow you on social media?
Spotify, Apple Music, all that good stuff. Instagram, I'm Amanda A. Cooksey. Twitter, I'm A Cooksey Music. Facebook, Amanda Cooksey Music. TikTok, Amanda A Cooksey. All the places.
She's out there, fam. Just do the due diligence. Put it in the Google search bar, not the AI new system.
Yeah, exactly.
Amanda, you are fabulous, fam. Always a pleasure to speak with you. Much success moving forward in the year 2023. And keep in touch. Cannot wait to hear more new music from you.
Aw, thank you for having me.
I wish you were here, spending all of your time just swimming in tears.